that you could be with us. We're really thankful for all the children that were here during VBS. Do I have sound here, guys? I can't hear myself. I mean, I can hear myself, but I'm not sure if I'm... There we go. Just again, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're totally blessed by you being here. We have a little video that we want to show, kind of a summary of the week that Jake Anderson and Michael Becker put together. And so let's take a look at that and see what we have here. There's the submerge. Here's the video. Cool.
Look at all the fishes swimming around. Red and blue and green and yellow, orange and brown. So much imagination goes into God's creation. It's beautiful, it's colorful.
You know me.
I had a great time. Great job on the video, guys. Go ahead. We're going to go ahead right now and have all the kids. And if you're a part of VBS, come on up here to the front and squeeze in here. And then we're going to have a couple of songs. So come on up, guys. Face that direction. And if you're not sure, you can go onto the stairs and down and fill in this front area. Right here is fine. Great. All up here. Cool. There we go. Cool. Come on up. Don't be shy. If you were part of it, let's go for it.
Get all the fishes swimming around, red and blue and green and yellow, orange and brown. So much imagination goes into God's creation. It's beautiful, it's colorful, and I can see how. I am remarkably made. I am unique in each and every way. From my head up to my toes, in my heart and in my soul, I know. I am remarkably made.
Savior, we all need a friend.
Great job, guys. We are going to go ahead and dismiss the children to their classes now. So I know Kathy is doing elementary, and who has the Jenny with the preschool. So very good. We're going to go ahead and... Yeah, well, we had a great VBS. You can kind of just tell from everybody was having a lot of fun the whole time. The video was a great summary between the teaching, and we had. I'm going to go through a bunch of different things. I'll mention about VBS throughout the day, or that's what I'm going to be talking kind of as a theme, because it was such a great time, and we're so thankful for everybody that was part of it, and all the kids, and all the volunteers, and workers, and leaders, and everybody who did everything. And one of the things we did was. Each day we had a missionary we prayed for, because the whole theme of going deep, or, you know, that was the idea of the submarine. Let me see, I think I kind of skipped over one thing here. Okay, submerged. If you notice that it says finding truth below the surface. So it's kind of like, you know, we see things, but there's more going on. And one of the things is, well, you know, we have a little church, we're here, but, you know, God's doing things all over the world. And so one of the things we talked about were missionaries and that was, let's just talk about those for a second. So I'll just mention who we talked about and a little bit about what we said. That one was Gus and Inez. They're doing translation of the gospel into indigenous languages in South America, especially Colombia and Ecuador. They live in Ecuador, but they do a lot of work in Colombia and go back and forth. It's actually really dangerous work that they're doing, and it's very important. It's taking the gospel to people who don't speak English, don't speak Spanish, and they have other languages that they speak, their indigenous languages, so they translate gospel messages, Bible portions and things into these other languages. And they're down there. They've been there in Ecuador for over 7 years. They may be in the area in the next year or so, so we may get a chance to see them and meet. They've never been to the chapel. I've known them. I've met them in Mexico. They're from Mexico. And one of the ministries that Gus said he has is when he's in Ecuador and people ask him, well, you're a missionary? Yeah. And he goes, they go, well, where are you from? He goes, Mexico. And I thought the missionaries were all either Americans or Europeans. He goes, no, you don't have to be American or European. You have to be a Christian. And you have to be called by to consider, like, hey, serve the Lord. If I can do it from Mexico, you can do it from Ecuador. I'm here at your place. And then we had Bond and Heather here with us. They're doing some amazing work in Nepal, India, and Africa. They're leaving tomorrow for Uganda, and they just got back from Nepal. One of the things that Heather talked to the children about was children who've been affected by the earthquake that happened about a little over a year ago in Nepal. And so many children were left orphans. Their families were killed. These little kids were left there alone. And one of the things that they've done is started basically an orphanage and a place for these children that came with, like, nothing but the clothes on their back and you know, filthy, dirty, lost everything in the earthquake, their parents, all their family. And that's something that is on our hearts. And I talked to Bond and Heather about possibly in the future, maybe next year, so you might want to pray about this, about us taking a trip to Nepal to be part of the ministry there. So be praying about it. You know, it's still out there in the thing, but we're going to start praying about that and seeing what we could do. And there's all kinds of ministry possibilities, and we could do all kinds of things. And it's a matter of see who goes and see what we have, and they can fit us into slots. So that'd be great. They're in Italy. They're doing church planting, leadership training. They're doing a great work in Italy, a very hard country that's very tough for the gospel. We talked about Rosie Lopez on Thursday. She's been here several times, and she's a blessing. She works with battered women in Mexico, and she does a lot of help for a lot of women, and she does an amazing thing. She reaches people with the gospel. And we also talked about friends of ours, Billy and Sophie, that are in France and doing church planning and leadership development there. And we prayed for France with the day after this was the day we talked about them was the day after that big truck ran over all those people in Nice. Anyhow, so one of the things the kids did to participate in this is they gave an offering. And so each day they would bring different coins, pennies, nickels, dimes, and kind of give you a little... dollars that the children gave with coins through the week. And so... part of the thing, that's a little hotter than my other one. The part of the thing with the microphone and me, I hear myself, but I can't tell too much else. So anyhow, what we're going to do with this as a church is we're going to match it, and we're going to send one portion to the children in Nepal to help with their ministry, and the other portion to help with the battered women in Mexico. And honestly, if you're interested in that, you can mark anything when we do the offering, and we'll throw it into there too. So that'll be a blessing. I just wanted to talk about a little bit about what happened at VBS, and thanks to people. The registration, Janet and Leanne did a great job keeping everybody signed in, signed out, organized, so we knew who was here, who wasn't here, and all that. We had over 75 kids come through the VBS. I think as far as I know, our high day was about 67 kids, but it could have been higher. I'm not really sure. That was the highest one I heard, but I didn't check every day. Michael did a great job on the games. Who doesn't love just a great game of turtle walk limbo? You know, I mean, it's like something you just need to do. The leaders that took the kids, there were three groups, the preschool, kindergarten group, the first through third, and the fourth through sixth. And so the leaders that led them around from station to station, that they did a great job because they would have them totally hyped up, jumping up and down, screaming, kind of just like having a great time here. Then they would line them all up and get them to hang onto the rope and just walk over to the class. How'd you do that? How'd you do that? That was amazing. Like, to me, I was a teacher. I know once you get them all wound up, how do you get them like... but they just did a great job. And so thank you guys. In here we had Kathy did the missionary, talked about the missionaries each day. And then one part I thought was really cool was she had the kids come up and pray for the needs of the different missionaries each day. And she made a little prayer list. And then they came up and they'd pass the microphone down. And when it got down to like Noah's size... he was thankful for them. The teachers did a great job in the classes. Samantha did a fantastic job with her team leading the kids in the songs and that. The craft people, Mary, April, and Gail did a great job. And everybody else who was over there, there were a lot of helpers in all these too. And then kids had a great time doing the crafts. And overall, leader was of the whole thing, kind of administrating, and Mark, and the whole thing was Mike, and he did a great job. This is his third rodeo. Like, it's not his first rodeo. It wasn't his second rodeo. It was his third rodeo. And you know what? You can really tell he did a great job. Everything was, we had minimal number of meetings, and everybody knew what to do and just did a great job. It was fantastic. I thought it was just an excellent VBS. So our key text that we had was found in Psalm 139. And we talked about that, and we went through the different days about how God knows us. And when we talked, I thought I just kind of, we really did the end of the verse, I mean the end of the chapter was our key text. But just, if you kind of look through the whole psalm, that I just want to take a couple minutes and take a couple thoughts here. And it starts off, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." And one of the things that happens as we dig deep and we go deep is we understand that God knows everything about us. We don't come in here thinking, you know what? God may be able to figure out something if I give him some kind of a clue. No, God, he's, I like this that it says, you have searched me and you know me. And this idea of search, it's like it, that the word it comes from is a word that means to dig. You've dug in. You know what's in there. You know who I am. Sometimes that's not really that comforting. If we know who we are, we're like, man, what is it? Who am I? How am I? What is God really going to do in our life? And that's why we went through different themes of, hey, you know, God knows who you are. He knows you need a Savior, but he loves you. And he loves you. God loves you as you are. He knows who you are, and he loves you like that. He knows who you are, and he loves you not only the part of you that you kind of love and think is pretty good, and you may think you're a little better than somebody else or not better or whatever, but you think is okay, you're pretty satisfied with. But he also loves the part of you that you really don't want to tell anybody about, you're ashamed of, you've done bad, you're like feel he still loves you. His love is deeper than your shame. His love is deeper than your guilt. And it's not like you're hiding anything from him. He knows who you are. In fact, the psalmist then goes on to say, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Because part of the thing is not only does God know who you are and know, but you can't get away from him. Where am I going to go to get away from your spirit? Where can I go? What can I do? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I go wherever you go, if I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Listen, you can't go anywhere without God being there. I had a friend of mine who was my Spanish teacher years ago. And when I left Spain and came here, and then a few years later, I went back for a visit. And my Spanish teacher, his name was Pepe, and he was a little quirky all the time, okay? But when I went there, he had put into his house, in his living room, a glass booth. It looked like maybe a shower stall or like a phone booth that was four walls of glass, and he had a door on it. And so he told me, you know what, John? And he had installed that since I had been at his house. And so I'm there, and he's like, oh. I mean, he had this parrot, which I don't even know why I'm mentioning this, but he did have this parrot that was kind of an attack parrot. Like, I went over to his house, and he's got this parrot. It's a super green little parrot about that big. And so I'm looking. He goes, hey, kind of watch it. And I'm like, why? And the parrot just, like, runs over and starts digging into my foot. And I'm like, oh. Anyhow, that was before. Later, I went to his house, and I hadn't been there for a few years. I go to his house, and he's got this glass booth set up in the corner. I go, hey, Pepe, what's that? He goes, that's a place where I can go and be totally alone. It's like I can get shut out everything if I go. And he had like literally like a booth about the just where you could set a chair in there. And it was about, you know, this like a shower stall size, phone booth size. And he says, I can just go in there and I can just put everything out. I go, yeah, but the thing is, you take you in there. Ah, yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. But you know what? When you go in there, God goes in there with you. You can't get away from him. Where can you go? You can't go anywhere and get away from God. He's there. But the great thing is, not only is he there, he knows you and he loves you. And he cares about you. And he knows how you are and he knows what's bothering you. And he knows what you need. And he loves you like that. And he doesn't want to leave you like that. He wants to give you the peace, the joy. He wants to give you what you can't give yourself. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The day is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You're like, God, well, I'm going to hide in the dark. I'm going to be in the dark and nobody's going to see. No, God still sees it. My son-in-law was in the military. And he said that he was in a group of people that he says they don't do hazing. But if they did hazing, it would be similar to this. So they were doing some kind of like hazing, but it's not hazing because they don't do hazing, okay? But so he said they had one guy and they were kind of taping him up with duct tape. And then he said, so he went and hid, and he was up at Camp Roberts up in Central California. And he said he went out and he hid behind this bush, and he said it was pitch black at night. But he didn't realize that the guys on his team, they had these glasses that you could put on. And he says, you might as well just been standing there in daylight, because they all just walk up to him and grab him. And then he found out what the taping was about, too. But the thing is, it's kind of like we think we're hidden. We think nobody can see us. We think the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Oh, look, everything's dark. Nobody can see. No, God's there. He's there. He's with you. He knows. We see on the outward, but when we take it to another level, all of a sudden, no, it's nothing. It doesn't work. My same son-in-law, he has like all these stories where he's trying to hide, and they never really, and sometimes they work out. He said the other thing he did with training is they would train down in San Diego Bay, and they had, and in the Navy has anti-personnel dolphins. And so he said, so they would go there at night. Sometimes they're doing training at night, and he says they'd be swimming, and they do their diving with the no bubbles thing, and they're going to pretend like they go up and put a mine on a ship or something. So he said, so then he says, about the time you're crawling down into the water, they go, oh, by the way, the mammals will be out tonight. So he said him and his buddy, they thought, well, we'll hide from them. So he said they went over, swam over to the pier and got next to a piling to hide. He says that'd pretty much be the same as if a dolphin decided he was going to lay next to those chairs to hide because you couldn't see him. It did no good. So he said, in fact, it was worse, because then when the dolphins come in and they hit you, they have a helmet, and if they're really using in real life, if they thought it was an actual somebody doing some bad thing in a war situation, the dolphin has a little helmet with a spike on it that has like an air bladder inside the helmet. So if he hits you, a spike goes into you and it fills your body with air, which forces you to the surface. But in training, they just have a Nerf helmet. So he said, so then the dolphins still hit hard. So he says, you can never see, the water's all murky and dirty and you can't see this far. And he says, then all of a sudden you hear click, 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 and it's the dolphins. And you know they're going to hit you. You get about two clicks warning and then pow, you get hit. And he said, but he found out at that moment that being next to a piling covered with barnacles and mussels was not an advantage. He's got all scratched up and scraped up. Look, we think we can hide, but we can't. God is there. He knows who you are. He knows what you did. He knows what you thought. He knows everything about you. The night is as day. Darkness covers nothing. He's there. He talks about it. Look, not only does God know who you are, what you thought, He was there when you were made. You formed me. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You know, sometimes we think, oh, my life has been a mistake. My life is... God didn't know what He was doing. God made some kind of mistake. God put me in this situation. No, you know what? God knew you from before you were born. God knew you. God knit you together in your mother's womb. God's known you from day one. He's known you since before day one. And part of what the psalmist does here is all of a sudden he realizes, no, you know what? You know where I am. I can't get away from you. You know everything. There's no hiding. and you made me how I am, and you love me how I am. Your works are wonderful. And you know what? When you really get to the core, when you get down deep in this, your soul needs to know, you know, that's just the way it is. God's made everybody different, and he's made everybody unique. And we're all alike in that we're unique. But you know what? He's made you, and you fit a spot that no one else fits. You fill a void no one else fills. For every person I've ever met, there's one point where I could probably think, well, I can do better than them on this one thing. But there's some other point where they do better than I do. Everybody's like that. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has a position in life that God's put you in, a special place that you can do a special thing that no one else can do. I had a friend that was in seminary. He was going to be a pastor. And he had this other roommate that was just everybody thought, you know, he was big, he was tall, he was good looking, he was really smart. He did, and my friend said he was always thinking, man, that guy's like totally got it all together. He's like he just admired him on every angle. He said one day they'd been roommates for a couple years, and one day they were sitting in their room talking, and his friend goes, wow, I wish I was like you. And my friend goes, what? Like, what are you even talking about? You get better grades than I do. You're this. He goes, yeah, but we're training to be pastors. And he says, you just have a heart for being a pastor. And I wish I had the heart that you have. Like, number one, you know what? We all have something. And number two, a lot of times we're all sitting around wishing we had something else. You know what I mean? Like, instead of worrying about, well, I wish I was like this, hey, let's be thankful for what God has done. He may change you, may change who you are in some way. That's cool. That's growth. That's development. We're thankful for that. But let's be thankful for who God made us today. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, for my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Look, God, the moment we start thinking that there's something about me God doesn't know, the farther we get, when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, my frame wasn't hidden from you. You knew who I was. You knew who I, not only who I was, who you were making, but who I was going to turn into. And I didn't know that. My parents didn't know that. Nobody knew that, but you know. And we trust him. And then this was our key verse for the week. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked or grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think if we can come to the kids saying that verse, was just like, so they did such a great job. And so many of them. And part of what they had to do on the last day, you saw in the video where they were either spraying water or dumping buckets of water or throwing water balloons at leaders. First, you had to say the verse. Okay, so that was the reward. But who doesn't want to throw a bucket of water on somebody? I mean, hey, that's like so much fun. But but you know what? Look in your heart. And when we ask God to search our heart and search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous or wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. This is such a great prayer. God, search me, show me. Because a lot of times we don't see who we really are. We look in the mirror and don't see what we see. We sometimes what we do is avoid mirrors. You know, I just keep away from that. Let's just not look that way. Let's not really examine who we are. But, you know, if we ask God, show me, who am I? And lead me in the way everlasting. I was looking at during my Bible reading this week, there was a verse that struck me. It's in Colossians, and it says, "You who were dead in your trespasses and sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." God took us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. And he took, I like this, that says, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Like, the reality is, when we look at God and we see, what are the debts? What are our sins? What have we done? Have we ever missed the mark? Have we ever fallen short? Have we ever? The reality is, we've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short on one thing or another. We have a debt that we can't pay. Jesus went to the cross, and when he went to the cross, the righteous demands of our debt were nailed to that cross with him. And we had a debt we could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe, which was your debt and my debt. And really what we need to do today is understand that as we trust in Jesus, he wants, that is what it means to be led in the way everlasting. That is, we recognize, I owe a debt, I can't pay it. Jesus has paid the debt he didn't owe. I put my trust in him. I say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know I've sinned. I know I've failed in one thing or another. And I believe that Jesus paid the debt for all my sins. And he's faithful. And he will lead you in the way everlasting. Look, the message of the week was summarized: Jesus knows who I really am. You can't get away from him. He knows who you are. He knows I need a savior. He knows you can't save yourself. He knows I can't save myself. He knows no matter how good I think I am, it's not good enough. No matter how bad I think I am, it's not so bad that he can't save me. However good I think I am, it's not good enough to save myself. And he knows why he's made me. You know, we look at, well, I'm this, and I wish I was this, and I wish I was that. No, God's got a point. He's got a purpose. He's got something for you that's specially designed for you, and he wants to work in your life. We did our final picture out there in the front. We'll kind of zoom it in here a second. All the kids we had a great time. They were all kind of waving goodbye to VBS at that point. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and pray. One thing, I talked to Mike yesterday, and I told him to mark the calendar, because next year we're going to do VBS July 10th through the 14th. So you put that on your calendar. It's the same week in the year as this week. We thought this was a great week. We've done them in August. It was really hot. This is a good time. It gives us enough time to prepare. It's still cool enough this week. I mean, we could get a hot week in July, but a lot of times we won't. Look, it. You put that down, be ready. But you know what? What I really want to encourage you is, if you don't really know who Jesus is, if you don't really know that he knows who you are and that he loves you as you are, and he paid the debt you didn't owe. He paid the debt you owed that he didn't owe, and that he wants to save you. You know what? This is a great day to trust Jesus. It just is. It's a great day to say, you know what, God? I know you love me. I know you know me. I know you know who I am at the depths of my heart. And I just believe. And I trust, you know, we did the ABC thing, accept that you're, you know, believe, you're, accept, believe, and confess. And that's really what it's about. Listen, we've got a few things planned for after the service, and we want everybody to stay. But we're really blessed by you guys. We are blessed by the kids. I was totally blessed by all the workers that did everything and made it all happen, and no one had too much to carry, but everybody worked together. It was a great week, and it was a great time with the kids, and it was a great, it was just a great event. And we're having a great day today. We're glad you're here. If we can do anything for you, if you're visiting, if we can do anything for you and you're here every week, that's cool too. But if you're here as a visitor and we can do anything for you, just let us know. We're here. We care. We love you guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness. Lord, we know that you love us, Father, more than we know, more than we can understand, more than we love ourselves. And Father, you care about us and you know our needs better than we know our own needs. And we pray, Father, that if there's anybody here that needs Jesus, that today they would put their faith and their hope and their trust in him. And Lord, we pray as we continue on and we do the time of the offering, that that no one would feel a compulsion to give, but we would just give freely from our hearts, and that you would bless every gift and every giver. May you be honored and glorified through this time of worship. We thank you and praise you for this great week we've had. In Jesus' name, amen.